This is Audible.
Onyx by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Narrated by Justine Eyre. Copyright 2012 by Jennifer L. Armentrout. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Entangled Publishing, LLC, and was produced in the year 2013 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Chapter 1. 10 seconds passed between when Demon Black took his seat and when he poked me under my shoulder blade with his trusty pen. 10 whole seconds. Twisting around in my seat, I inhaled the unique outdoorsy scent that was all him. Demon pulled his hand back and tapped the blue cap of his pen on the corner of his lips. Lips I was well familiar with.
"Good morning, kitten."
I forced my gaze to his eyes. Bright green, like the stem of a freshly cut rose. "Good morning, Demon." Unruly dark hair fell over his forehead as he tilted his head.
"Don't forget we have plans tonight."
"Yeah, I know. Looking forward to it," I said dryly. As Demon leaned forward, his dark sweater stretched over broad shoulders. He tipped his desk down. I heard the soft inhales from my friends Carissa and Lissa, felt the eyes of everyone in class watching us. One corner of his lips curved higher, as if he were secretly laughing. The stretch of silence became too heavy. "What?"
"I need to work off your trace," he said,
low enough that only I could hear. Thank God. Trying to explain what a trace was to the general populace was not something I wanted to get into. "Oh, you know, just alien residue that rubs off in humans and lights them up like a Christmas tree and becomes a homing signal to an evil alien race. Want some?" "Uh-huh." I picked up my pen and considered poking him with it. "Yeah, I figured as much."
"And I have this really fun idea of how we can do it."
I knew what his fun idea was. Me, him, making out. I smiled, and the green of his eyes heated.
"Liking the idea," he murmured,
and his gaze dropped to my lips. An unhealthy amount of excitement had my entire body humming, and I reminded myself that his sudden turnaround had more to do with the effect of his bizarre alien mojo on me than it did with me as a person. Ever since Demon healed me after the battle with the Arum, we were connected, and while that seemed to be enough for him to jump into a relationship, it wasn't for me. It wasn't real. I wanted what my parents had. Undying love. Powerful. True. A whacked-out alien bond couldn't do that for me. "Not in this lifetime, buddy," I said finally.
"Resistance is futile, kitten."
"So is your charm."
"We'll see."
Rolling my eyes, I faced the front of the classroom. Demon was a total babe, but he was stab-worthy, which at times zeroed out the babe part. Not always, though. Our ancient trig teacher shuffled in, clutching a thick wad of papers while he waited for the tardy bell. Demon poked me with his pen. Again. Squeezing my hands into fists, I debated ignoring him. I knew better. He'd just keep poking me. Turning around, I glared at him. "What, Demon?" He moved as fast as a cobra striking. With a grin that did funny things to my stomach, he glided his fingers along my cheek, plucking a tiny bit of fuzz out of my hair. I stared at him.
"After school."
I started to get all kinds of crazy ideas as his grin turned wicked, but I wasn't playing his game anymore. I rolled my eyes and whipped back around. I would resist my hormones, and the way he got to me like no one else. A slight tick of pain throbbed behind my left eye the rest of the morning, which I totally blamed on Demon. By lunch, I felt like someone had sucker-punched me in the head. The steady noise of the cafeteria and the mix of disinfectant and burned food made me want to run from the room. "You going to eat that?" D. Black gestured at my untouched cottage cheese and pineapple. Shaking my head, I pushed my tray over, and my stomach roiled as she dug in. "You could eat the football team under the table." Lessa watched Dee with obvious envy sparkling in her dark eyes. I couldn't blame her. I'd once seen Dee eat an entire package of Oreos in one sitting.
"How do you do it?"
Dee shrugged dainty shoulders. I guess I have a fast metabolism. What did you guys do this weekend? Carissa asked, frowning as she wiped her glasses with the sleeve of her shirt. I was filling out college applications. I was making out with Chad all weekend, Lessa grinned. Both girls looked at Dee and me, waiting for us to share. I guessed the whole killing a psycho alien and almost dying thing probably wasn't something to throw out there. We hung out and watched stupid movies, Dee answered, giving me a slight smile as she tucked a shiny black curl behind her ear. It was kind of boring. Lessa snorted.
You guys are always boring.
I started to smile, but a warm tingle skated across the nape of my neck. The conversation around me faded, and a few seconds later, Demon dropped into the seat to my left. A plastic cup full of strawberry smoothie, my favorite, was set in front of me. I was more than a little shocked to be receiving any present from Demon, much less one of my favorite treats. My fingers brushed his as I took the drink, and a jolt of electricity danced along my skin. I yanked my hand back and took a small sip. Delish. Maybe it would make my tummy feel better. And maybe I could get used to this new gift-giving demon. Much better than the other douchebag version of him. Thank you. He smiled in response.
Where are ours? Lessa quipped.
Demon laughed.
I'm only at the service of one person in particular.
My cheeks flamed as I scooted my chair over. You are not servicing me in any way. He leaned in, closing my newly gained distance.
Not yet.
Oh, come on, Demon, I'm right here. Dee frowned. You're about to make me lose my appetite.
Like that will ever happen, Lessa retorted with an eye roll.
Demon pulled a sub out of his bag. Only he could skip fourth period early to get lunch and not end up in detention. He was just so special. Every girl at the table, besides his sister, was staring at him. Some of the guys were, too. He offered his sister an oatmeal cookie. Don't we have plans to make? Carissa asked, two bright spots coloring her cheeks. Yep, Dee said, grinning at Lessa. Big plans. I wiped a hand over my damp, clammy forehead. What plans? Dee and I were talking in English about throwing a party the week after next, Carissa jumped in. Something
huge,
Lessa said. Small, Carissa corrected, eyes narrowing on her friend. Just something with a few people. Dee nodded, and her bright green eyes glimmered with excitement. Our parents are going to be out of town Friday, so it works out perfectly. I glanced at Demon. He winked. My stupid heart skipped a beat. That's so cool that your parents are letting you have a party at your house, Carissa said. Mine would stroke out if I even suggested something like that. Dee shrugged one shoulder and looked away. Our parents are pretty cool. I forced my expression blank as a pang hit me in the chest. I truly believed Dee wanted her parents alive more than she wanted anything else in this world, and maybe even Demon, too. Then he wouldn't bear the weight of being responsible for his family. During the time we'd spent together, I'd figured out most of his bad attitude was because of all the stress, and there was his twin brother's death. The party became the topic of discussion at the table for the rest of the lunch period, which was kind of cool scheduling since my birthday was the following Saturday. But by Friday, the party would be all over the school. In a town where drinking in a cornfield was the height of excitement on a Friday night, no way was this going to stay a small party. Did Dee realize that? You okay with all of this? I whispered to Demon. He shrugged.
Not like I can stop her.
I knew he could if he wanted, which meant he didn't have a problem with it.
Cookie? He offered,
holding a cookie full of chocolate chips. Upset tummy or not, there was no way I could refuse that. Sure. His lips tipped up one side, and he leaned toward me, his mouth inches from mine.
Come and get it.
Come and get. Demon placed half the cookie between those full, totally kissable lips. Oh, holy alien babies everywhere. My mouth dropped open. Several of the girls at the table made sounds that had me wondering if they were turning into puddles under the table, but I couldn't bring myself to check out what they really were doing. That cookie, those lips, were right there. Heat swept over my cheeks. I could feel the eyes of everyone else, and Demon. Dear God, Demon arched his brows, daring me. Dee gagged. I think I'm going to hurl. Mortified, I wanted to crawl in a hole. What did he think I was going to do? Take the cookie from his mouth like something straight out of an R-rated version of Lady and the Tramp? Heck, I kind of wanted to, and I wasn't sure what that said about me. Demon reached up and took the cookie. There was a gleam to his eyes, as if he'd just won some battle.
Time's up, kitten.
I stared at him. Breaking the cookie in two, he handed me the larger piece. I snatched it away, half tempted to throw it back in his face, but it was chocolate chip. So I ate it and loved it. Taking another sip of my smoothie, I felt unease skitter along my spine, like I was being watched. Glancing around the cafeteria, I expected to find Demon's alien ex-girlfriend giving me her trademark bitch look, but Ash Thompson was chatting with another boy. Huh. Was he a Luxon? There weren't many their age, but I doubted Ash in all her supremeness would be smiling at a human boy. My gaze moved away from their table, scanning the rest of the cafeteria. Mr. Garrison stood by the double doors to the library, but he was staring at a table full of jocks who were making some intricate designs with their mashed potatoes. No one else even remotely looked in our direction. I shook my head, feeling foolish for being weirded out over nothing. It wasn't like an errand was going to bum-rush the high school cafeteria. Maybe I was coming down with something. My hands shook a little as I reached for the chain around my neck. The obsidian was cool against my skin, comforting, a herald of safety. So I needed to stop freaking out. Maybe that was why I was lightheaded and dizzy. It surely had nothing to do with the boy sitting beside me. There were several packages waiting for me at the post office, and I only barely squealed. They were advanced reader copies from other bloggers passing them along for review. And I was like, whatever. Sure evidence I was coming down with mad cow disease. The trip home was torturous. My hands felt weak. My thoughts were scattered. Gathering my mail close to my chest, I ignored the way the skin on the back of my neck tingled as I climbed the porch steps. And I also ignored 6 feet and then some of boy leaning against the railing.
You didn't come straight home after school.
Annoyance colored his tone. Like he was my own screwed-up, super-hot version of the Secret Service, and I'd managed to evade him. I dug out my keys with my free hand. Obviously, I had to go to the post office. I pushed open the door and dropped the pile on the table inside the foyer. Of course, he was right behind me, not waiting for an invite.
Your mail could have waited.
Demon followed me into the kitchen.
What is it? Just books?
Grabbing the OJ from the fridge, I sighed. People who didn't heart books didn't understand. Yeah, it was just books.
I know there probably aren't any Aram around right now, but you can never be too careful, and you have a trace on you that will lead them right to our doorsteps. Right now, that's more important than your books.
Nah, books were more important than the Aram. I poured myself a glass, too tired to get into it with Demon. We hadn't mastered the art of polite conversation yet. Drink? He sighed.
Sure. Milk?
I gestured at the fridge. Help yourself?
You offered. You're not going to get it for me.
I offered orange juice, I replied, taking my glass to the table. You picked milk, and keep it down. My mom's asleep. Muttering under his breath, he grabbed a glass of milk. As he sat beside me, I realized he was wearing black sweats, which reminded me of the last time he'd been in my house dressed like that. We'd gotten into it. Our argument had turned into a steamy makeout session straight from one of those cheesy romance novels I read. The encounter still kept me up late at night, not that I'd ever admit it. It was so hot, Demon's alien mojo had blown most of the light bulbs in the house and had fried my laptop. I really missed my laptop and my blog. Mom promised me a new computer for my birthday. 2 more weeks. I fiddled with my glass, not looking up. Can I ask you a question?
Depends, he replied smoothly. Do you feel anything around me?
Other than what I felt this morning when I saw how good you looked in those jeans.
Demon, I sighed, trying to disregard the girl in me that screamed, he noticed me. I'm being serious. His long fingers idly traced circles on the wooden table.
The back of my neck gets all warm and tingly. Is that what you're talking about?
I peeked up. A half-smile played across his lips. Yeah, you feel it too?
Whenever we're near.
It doesn't bother you?
Does it bother you?
I wasn't sure what to say. The tingling wasn't painful or anything, just weird. But what it symbolized did bother me. The damn connection we knew nothing about. Even our hearts were beating the same.
It could be a side effect of the healing.
Demon watched me over the rim of his glass. I bet he'd look hot with a milk mustache.
Are you feeling well?
He asked.
Not really.
Why?
You look like crap.
Any other time, his comment would have started a war in this house, but I just set my half-empty glass down. I think I'm coming down with something. His brows furrowed. The concept of being sick was foreign to Demon. The Luxon didn't get sick. Like, ever.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I probably got alien cooties. Demon snorted.
Doubtful. I can't afford for you to be sick. We need to get you outside and try to work your trace off. Until then, you're a...
If you say I'm a weakness, I will hurt you. Anger pushed down the nausea in my stomach. I think I proved that I'm not, especially when I led Barak away from your house and I killed him. I struggled to keep my voice low. Just because I'm human doesn't mean I'm weak. He sat back, brows inching up his forehead.
I was going to say that until then, you're at risk.
Oh. My cheeks flushed. Whoops. Well, then, I'm still not weak. 1 second, Demon was sitting at the table, and the next he was beside me, kneeling down. He had to look up slightly to see my face.
I know you're not weak. You've proven yourself. And what you did this weekend, tapping into our powers, I still can't figure out how that happened, but you're not weak. Ever.
Whoa. It was hard to stick to my resolve of not caving to the ridiculous notion of us being together when he was actually nice and when he stared at me like I was the last piece of chocolate in the whole world. Which made me think of that damn chocolate chip cookie in his mouth. The side of his lips twitched as if he knew what I was thinking and was fighting a smile. Not that little smirk of his, but a real smile. And suddenly he was standing, towering over me.
Now I need you to prove you're not weak. Get off your butt and let's work off some of that trace.
I groaned. Demon, I'm really not feeling well.
Cat.
And I'm not saying that to be difficult. I feel like hurling. He folded his muscular arms, stretching his Under Armour shirt across his chest.
It's not safe for you to be running around when you look like a damn lighthouse. As long as you carry the trace, you can't do anything. Go anywhere.
I pushed up from the table, ignoring the rolling in my stomach. I'll get changed. Surprise widened his eyes as he stepped back.
Caving in so easily?
Caving in? I laughed without feeling. I just want you out of my face. Demon chuckled deeply.
Keep telling yourself that, kitten.
Keep using your ego steroids. In a blink of an eye, he was in front of me, blocking my exit. Then he prowled forward, head lowered, and eyes full of intent. I backed up until my hands found the edge of the kitchen table. What? I demanded. Placing his hands on either side of my hips, he bent forward. His breath was warm against my cheek, and our eyes locked. He moved a fraction of an inch closer, and his lips brushed my chin. A strangled gasp escaped the back of my throat, and I swayed toward him. A heartbeat later, Demon pulled back, chuckling smugly.
Yeah, not my ego, kitten. Go get ready.
Damn it. Giving him the finger, I left the kitchen and went upstairs. My skin still felt clammy and gross, and it had nothing to do with what happened,
but I changed into a pair of sweats and a thermal. Running was the last thing I wanted to do. Not like I expected Demon to care I wasn't feeling well. He only cared about himself and his sister. "That's not true," whispered an insidious, annoying voice in my head. But maybe that voice was correct. He had healed me when he could have left me to die, and I'd heard his thoughts, heard him begging me not to leave him. Either way, I had to swallow the urge to puke and go for a fun jog. Some sixth sense knew this wasn't going to end well. Chapter 2. I lasted 20 minutes. With the uneven terrain of the woods, the brisk November wind, and the boy next to me, I couldn't do it. Leaving him halfway to the lake, I speed-walked all the way back to the house. Demon called out to me a couple of times, but I ignored him. Within a minute of reaching my bathroom, I threw up, the clutching the toilet on my knees, tears streaming down my face, kind of hurling. It was so bad, I woke up Mom. She hurried into the bathroom, pulling my hair back. "How long have you been feeling sick, honey? A few hours, all day, or just now?" "Mom, ever the nurse." "On and off all day," I moaned, resting my head against the tub. Tisking under her breath, she placed her hand against my forehead. "Honey, you're burning up." She grabbed a towel and ran it under the tap. "I should probably call in to work." "No, I'm okay." I took the towel from her, pressing it against my forehead. The coolness was wonderful. "It's just the flu, and I feel better already." Mom clucked over me until I got up and took a shower. Changing into a long sleep shirt took an absurd amount of time. The room did a tilt-a-whirl on me as I climbed under the covers, and I squeezed my eyes shut and waited for Mom to return. "Here's your phone and some water." She placed both on the table and sat beside me. "Open up." Prying one eye open, I saw a thermometer shoved at my face. I obediently opened my mouth. "Depending on how high your temperature is, we will determine if I'm staying home," she told me. "It's probably just the flu, but..." I groaned. She gave me a bland look and waited until the thing beeped. 101. I want you to take this." Pausing, she handed me 2 pills. I downed them, no questions asked. "The temp isn't that bad, but I want you to stay in bed and rest. I'll call and check on you before 10, okay?" I nodded and then snuggled down. Sleep was all I needed. She folded up another damp cloth and placed it over my forehead. I closed my eyes, almost certain I was approaching stage 1 of a zombie infection. A weird fog entered my brain. I slept, waking up once to check in with Mom, and then again past midnight. The nightshirt was damp, clinging to my feverish skin. I went to push the blankets off and noticed they were across the room, covering my cluttered computer desk. Cold sweat dotted my forehead as I sat up. My thumping heart echoed in my head, heavy and erratic. 2 beats at once, it seemed. My skin felt stretched tight over my muscles, hot and prickly. I stood, and the room spun. I was so hot, burning up from the inside. My insides felt as if they'd melted into goo. My thoughts ran into one another, a never-ending train of nonsense. All I knew was that I needed to cool down. The door to the hallway swung open, beckoning me. I didn't know where I was going, but I stumbled down the hall and then downstairs. The front door was like a beacon, promising relief. It would be cold outside. Then I would be cold. But it wasn't enough. I stood on the porch, the wind blowing my damp shirt and hair back. Stars lined the night sky, intensely bright. I lowered my gaze, and the trees lining the road shifted colors. Yellow, gold, red. Then they turned a muted shade of brown. I was dreaming, I realized. In a daze, I stepped off the porch. Pieces of gravel poked at my feet, but I kept walking, the moonlight leading the way. Several times the world felt like it turned upside down, but I pushed on. It didn't take me long to reach the lake. Under the pale light, the onyx-colored water rippled. I moved forward, stopping when my toes sunk through loose dirt. Prickling heat scorched my skin as I stood there, burning, sweltering.
Cat?
Slowly, I turned. Wind whipped around me as I stared at the apparition. Moonlight sliced his face in shadows, reflecting in his wide, bright eyes. He couldn't be real.
What are you doing, kitten? Demon asked.
He seemed fussy. Demon was never fussy. Fast and blurry sometimes, yes, but never fussy.
I need to cool down.
Understanding shot across his face.
Don't you dare go into that lake.
I moved backward. Icy water lapped at my ankles and then my knees.
Why?
Why?
He took a step forward.
It's too cold. Kitten, don't make me come in there and get you.
My head throbbed. Brain cells were definitely melting. I sunk farther down. Cold water soothed the burning in my skin. It washed over my head, stealing my breath and the fire. The burn eased, nearly fading. I could stay under here forever. Maybe I would. Strong, solid arms surrounded me, pulling me back to the surface. Frigid air rushed me, but my lungs were seared. I dragged in deep gulps, hoping to extinguish the flames. Demon was pulling me out of the blessed water, moving so fast I was in the water one second and standing on shore the next.
What's wrong with you?
He demanded, grasping my shoulders and giving me a light shake.
Have you lost your mind?
Don't, I pushed at him weakly. I'm so hot.
His intense gaze drifted down to my toes.
Yeah, you're hot. The whole wet white shirt. It's working, kitten, but a midnight swim in November. That's a little daring, don't you think?
He wasn't making sense. The reprieve was over, and my skin was burning again. I stumbled from his hands, back toward the lake. His arms were around me before I took two steps, turning me around.
Cat, you can't get in the lake. It's too cold. You're going to get sick.
He brushed back the hair plastered to my cheeks.
How sicker than you already are. You're burning up.
Something in what he said cleared a bit of the haze. I leaned into him, pressing my cheek into his chest. He smelled wonderful, like spice and man.
I don't want you.
Now is not the time to get into that conversation.
This was just a dream. I sighed, wrapping my arms around his taut waist.
But I do want you.
Demon's arms tightened around me.
I know, kitten. You aren't fooling anyone. Come on.
Letting go, my arms hung limply at my sides.
I don't feel good.
Cat.
He pulled back. Both hands were on my face, holding my head up.
Cat, look at me.
I wasn't looking at him. My legs gave out, and then there was nothing. No demon, no thoughts, no fire, no Katie. Things were hazy, disjointed. Warm hands kept the hair back from my face, fingers smoothed over my cheek. A deep voice spoke to me in a language that was musical and soft, like a song, but more beautiful and comforting. I sunk into the sound, lost for a little while. I heard voices. Once I thought I heard Dee.
You can't. It'll just make the trace worse.
I was moved around, wet clothing stripped away. Something warm and soft slid over my skin. I tried talking to the voices around me, and maybe I did. I wasn't sure. At some point, I was wrapped in a cloud and carried somewhere. A steady heart beat under my cheek, lulling me until the voices faded and cool hands eventually replaced the warm ones. Bright lights intruded. I heard more voices.
Mom?
Mom sounded worried. She was talking to someone. Someone I didn't recognize. He had the cool hands. There was a prick in my arm, a dull pain that radiated to my fingers. More hushed voices, and then I heard nothing. There was no day or night, but this weird in-between where a fire raged in my body. Then the cool hands were back, pulling my arm out from underneath the covers. I didn't hear Mom as I felt the prick again on my skin. Heat swept inside me, rushing through my veins. Gasping, I arched my back off the bed, and a strangled scream escaped the back of my throat. Everything burned. A fire raged inside me, 10 times worse than before, and I knew I was dying. I had to be. And then there was a coolness in my veins, like a rush of winter's air. It moved quickly, dousing the flames and leaving a trail of ice in its wake. The hands moved to my neck, tugging something up. A chain. My necklace. The hands were gone, but I felt the obsidian humming, vibrating above me. And then I slept for what felt like an eternity, not certain I was ever going to wake up. 4 days of being in the hospital, and I'd next to no recollection of any of it, only that I woke up Wednesday in an uncomfortable bed, staring at a white ceiling and feeling fine. Great, even. Mom had been by my side, and it took a hefty amount of bitching to get released after I spent all day Thursday telling anyone who came within a block of my door that I wanted to go home. I'd obviously had a bad case of the flu, not something serious. Now Mom watched me with shadowed eyes as I downed the glass of orange juice from our fridge. She was in jeans and a light sweater. It was odd seeing her out of her scrubs. "Honey, are you sure you're feeling well enough to go back to class? You can take today off and go back on Monday if you want." I shook my head. Missing 3 days of classes already earned me the truckload of homework Dee had dropped off last night. "I'm fine." "Honey, you were in the hospital. You should take it easy." I washed out the cup. "I'm okay. Really, I am." "I know you think you're feeling better." She fixed my cardigan, which I'd apparently buttoned wrong. "Well, Dr. Michaels may have cleared you to go home, but you scared me. I've never seen you so sick. Why don't I give him a quick call and see if he can check on you before he goes in for his rounds?" Even more bizarre was that my mom was now referring to my doctor on a first-name basis. Their relationship had taken a trip into serious land, it seemed, and I'd missed it. Grabbing my backpack, I stopped. "Mom?"
"Yes?"
"You came home in the middle of the night Monday, right? Before your shift ended?" When she shook her head, I was even more confused. "How did I get to the hospital?"
"Are you sure you're feeling okay?"
She placed her hand on my forehead.
"You don't have a fever, but your friend brought you to the hospital."
"My friend?"
"Yes, Demon brought you in. Although I'm curious how he knew you were so sick at 3 in the morning.
Her eyes narrowed.
"Actually, I'm very curious."
"Oh, crap. So am I." Chapter 3. I'd never been more eager to get to Trigg in my life. How in the hell had Demon known I was sick? The dream I had about the lake couldn't have been real. No way. If it was, I was going to... I didn't know what I'd do, but I was sure my flaming cheeks would be involved. Lessa was the first to arrive.
"Yay! You're back. How are you feeling? Better?"
"Yeah, I'm doing okay." My eyes darted to the door. A few seconds later, Carissa came in. She tugged on a strand of my hair as she passed, smiling.
"I'm glad you're feeling better. We were all worried, especially when we stopped by to visit and you were completely out of it."
I wondered what I'd done in front of them that I couldn't remember.
"Do I even want to know?"
Lessa giggled, pulling out her textbook.
"You mumbled a lot, and you kept calling out for someone."
"Oh, no. I did." Taking pity on me, Carissa kept her voice low.
"You were calling out for Demon."
I dropped my face in my hands and moaned.
"Oh, God."
Lessa giggled.
"It was kind of cute."
A minute before the tardy bell rang, I felt an all-too-familiar warmth on my neck and glanced up. Demon swaggered into class, textbookless, as usual. He had a notebook, but I don't think he ever wrote anything in it. I was beginning to suspect our math teacher was an alien, because how else would Demon get away with not doing a damn thing in class? He passed by without so much as a look. I twisted around in my chair. "I need to talk to you." He slid into his desk chair.
"Okay."
"In private," I whispered. His expression didn't change as he leaned back in his chair.
Meet me in the library at lunch. No one really goes in there. You know, with all those books and stuff.
I made a face before flipping to the front of the class. Maybe 5 seconds later, I felt his pen poking me in the back. Taking a deep, patient breath, I faced him. Demon had his desk tipped forward. Inches separated us. Yes? He grinned.
You look a lot better than the last time I saw you.
Thanks, I grumbled. His gaze flickered around me, and I knew what he was doing. He was looking at the trace.
Know what?
I cocked my head to the side, waiting.
You're not glowing, he whispered.
Surprised, I let my jaw fall slack. I'd been shining like a disco ball on Monday, and now I didn't have a trace. Like, at all? He shook his head. The teacher started the class, so I had to face the front again, but I wasn't paying attention. My mind was stuck on the fact I wasn't glowing anymore. I should be... No, I was ecstatic, but the connection, it was still there. My hope that it would fade along with the trace was total bunk. After class, I asked the girls to let Dee know I'd be late for lunch. Since they'd overheard part of the conversation, Carissa was full of giggles, and Lissa launched into her fantasy about doing it in the library. Something I didn't need to know, or think about, but now I was, because I could so picture Demon getting into that sort of thing. Morning classes dragged. Mr. Garrison gave me the usual untrustworthy glance throughout biology, after his eyes widened upon seeing me. He was like the unofficial guardian of the Luxon living outside of the alien colony. The non-glowy version of me seemed to get as much attention as the glowy version. Probably had more to do with the fact he wasn't too happy that I knew what they really were. The door opened just as he went for the projector, and a boy walked in, wearing a vintage Pac-Man shirt, which was made of awesome. A low murmur went through the classroom as a stranger handed Mr. Garrison a note. He was new, obviously. His brown hair was artfully messy, like it was styled that way on purpose. Good-looking, too, with golden-colored skin and a confident grin on his face.
It seems we have a new student, Mr. Garrison said, dropping the note on his desk. Blake Saunders from... California, the boy supplied. Santa Monica.
Several oohs and ahs followed that. Lessa sat up straighter. Yay! I'd no longer be the new kid.
All right, Blake from Santa Monica.
Mr. Garrison scanned the classroom, his gaze stopping on the empty seat beside me.
There's your seat and your lab partner. Have fun.
My eyes narrowed on Mr. Garrison, not sure if have fun was a thinly veiled insult or a secret hope the non-alien boy would distract me from the alien one. Appearing oblivious to the curious stares, Blake took his seat next to me and smiled.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Katie from Florida, I grinned. Now known as no longer the new kid.
Ah, I see.
He glanced up to where Mr. Garrison was wheeling the projector to the middle of the classroom.
Small town, not many faces, everyone stares kind of thing.
You got it. He laughed softly.
Good. I was beginning to think something was wrong with me.
He pulled out a notebook, his arm brushing mine. A static charge shocked me.
Sorry about that.
Totally okay, I told him. Blake gave me one more quick grin before turning his gaze to the front of the classroom. Fiddling with the chain around my neck, I sneaked a quick peek at the new boy. Well, at least Bio now had some eye candy. Couldn't go wrong with that. Demon wasn't waiting at the double doors to the library. Shouldering my bag, I entered the musty-smelling room. A young librarian glanced up and smiled as I looked around. The back of my neck was warm, but I didn't see him. Knowing Demon, he was probably hiding so no one would see his coolness in a library. I passed a few underclassmen at the tables and computers eating their lunches, and then roamed around until I found him back in the nosebleed section, Eastern European culture. A basic no man's land. He was lounging in a cubicle beside an outdated computer, hands shoved into the pockets of his faded jeans. A wavy lock of hair covered his forehead, brushing against thick lashes. His lips curled into a half smile.
I was wondering if you were ever going to find me.
He made no move to clear up any space in the tiny 6x6 hole. I dropped my bag outside the walls and hopped up on the desk opposite him. Embarrassed someone would see you and think you're capable of reading?
I do have a reputation to maintain.
And what a lovely reputation that is. He stretched out his legs so that his feet were under mine.
So what did you want to talk about?
His voice lowered to a deep, sexy whisper.
In private.
I shivered, and it had nothing to do with the temperature. Not what you're hoping. Demon gave me a sexy smirk. Okay. I gripped the edge of the desk. How did you know I was sick in the middle of the night? Demon stared at me for a moment.
You don't remember.
His eerie eyes were way too intense. I dropped my gaze to his mouth. Wrong move. I stared at the map of Europe over his shoulder. Better. No, not really.
Well, it was probably the fever. You were burning up.
My eyes snapped back to his. You touched me?
Yes, I touched you, and you weren't wearing a lot of clothes.
The smug stretch of his lips spread.
And you were soaked in a white t-shirt. Nice look. Very nice.
Heat crept over my cheeks. The lake. It wasn't a dream? Demon shook his head. Oh, my God. So I did go swimming in the lake. He pushed off the desk and took one step forward, which put him in the same breathing space as me, if he actually needed to breathe.
You did. Not something I expected to see on a Monday night, but I'm not complaining. I saw a lot.
Shut up, I hissed.
Don't be embarrassed.
He reached out, tugging on the sleeve of my cardigan. I smacked his hand away.
It's not like I haven't seen the upper part before, and I didn't get a real good look down.
I came off the desk swinging. My knuckles only brushed his face before he caught my hand. Wowzers, he was fast. Demon pulled me up against his chest and lowered his head, eyes snapping with restrained anger.
Don't hit, kitten. It's not nice.
You're not nice. I tried pulling back, but he kept my wrist secured in his hand. Let me go.
I'm not sure I can do that. I must protect myself.
But he dropped my hand. Oh, really? That's your reason for manhandling me?
Manhandling?
He pressed forward until my lower back was against the cubicle desk.
This isn't manhandling or whatever the hell that is.
Visions of me against the wall at my house and Demon kissing me danced in my head like sugar plums. Parts of my body tingled. Oh, so not a good sign. Demon, someone is going to see us.
So?
He gently picked up my hand.
Not like anyone is going to say a thing to me.
I drew in a deep breath. His scent was on my tongue. Our chests touched. Body said yes. Katie said no. I wasn't affected by this, not by how close we were or how his fingers were sliding under the sleeve of my cardigan. It wasn't real. So my trace has faded, but this stupid connection hasn't?
Nope.
Disappointed, I shook my head. What does that mean, then?
I don't know.
His fingers were completely under my sleeve, smoothing up my forearm. His skin, it hummed like electricity. There was nothing like it. Why do you keep touching me? I asked, flustered.
I like to.
God, I liked it too, and I shouldn't. Demon.
But back to the trace. You know what that means.
That I don't have to see your face outside of school? He laughed, and it rumbled through me.
You're no longer at risk.
Somehow, and I really haven't a clue how, my free hand was against his chest. His heart beat fast and strong. So did mine. I think the not seeing your face parts outweighs the safe part.
Keep telling yourself that.
His chin brushed my hair and then slid over my cheek. I shivered. A spark passed from his skin to mine, humming in the charged air around us.
If that makes you feel better, but we both know it's a lie.
It's not a lie. I tipped my head back. His breath was a warm stroke against my lips.
"We're still going to be seeing each other," he murmured. "And don't even lie. I know that makes you happy. You told me you wanted me."
"Hold your horses. When?"
"At the lake."
He slanted his head, and I should have pulled back. His lips curved knowingly against mine, and he let go of my wrist.
"You said you wanted me."
Both of my hands were on his chest. They had a mind of their own. I claimed no responsibility for them. "I had a fever. Lost my mind."
"Whatever, kitten."
Demon gripped my hips, lifting me onto the edge of the desk with an ease that was disturbing.
"I know better."
My breath was coming in short gasps. "You don't know anything."
"Uh-huh. You know, I was worried about you,"
he admitted, moving forward, easing my legs apart.
"You kept calling out my name, and I kept answering, but it was like you couldn't hear me."
"What were we talking about?" My hands were on his lower stomach. His muscles were hard underneath the sweater. I slid my hands to his sides, totally meaning to push him away. Instead, I gripped and pulled him forward. "Wow, I must have been really out of it."
"It scared me."
Before I could respond or even give thought to the fact that my sickness actually scared him, our lips met. My brain clicked off as my fingers dug through his sweater and oh God, his kisses were deep, scorching my lips as his hands tightened on my waist, pulling me against him. Demon kissed like he was a man starving for water, taking long, breathless drafts. His teeth caught my lower lip when he pulled away, only to come back for more. A heady mix of emotions warred inside me. I didn't want this, because it was just the connection between us. I kept telling myself that, even as I slid my hands up his shirt and circled them around his neck. When his hands inched under my shirt, it was as though he reached deep inside me, warming every cell, filling every dark space within me with the heat from his skin. Touching him, kissing him, was like having a fever all over again. I was on fire. My body burned. The world burned. Sparks flew. Against his mouth, I moaned. There was a pop and crack. The smell of burned plastic filled the cubicle. We pulled apart, breathing heavily. Over his shoulder, I saw thin strips of smoke wafting from the top of the ancient monitor. Good God, was this going to happen every time we kissed? And what in the hell was I doing? I'd decided I wasn't going to let this happen with Demon, which meant no kissing or touching. The way he treated me when we first met still stung. The pain and embarrassment lingered in me. I pushed him hard. Demon let go, staring at me like I'd kicked his puppy into traffic. Looking away, I wiped the back of my hand over my mouth. It didn't work. Everything about him was still around me, in me. God, I don't even like this. Kissing you. Demon straightened, coming to his full height.
I beg to differ. And I think this computer tells a different story, too.
I shot him a dirty look. That will never happen again.
And I think you've said that before,
he reminded me. When he saw my expression, he sighed.
Cat, you enjoyed that just as much as I did. Why lie?
Because it's not real, I said. You didn't want me before.
I did.
Don't you dare say you wanted me because you treated me like I was the Antichrist. You can't just undo that because there's a stupid connection between us. I sucked in a sharp breath as an icky feeling spread through my chest. You really hurt me then. I don't think you even know. You humiliated me in front of an entire lunchroom. Demon looked away, dragging his fingers through his hair. A muscle popped out in his jaw.
I know. I'm sorry for how I treated you, Kat.
Shocked, I stared at him. Demon never apologized. Like, ever. Maybe he really... I shook my head. His apology wasn't enough. Even now, we're all the way hidden in the library, as if you don't want people to know you made a mistake that day and acted like a dick. And I'm supposed to be okay with that now? His eyes widened.
Kat,
not saying we can't be friends, because I want to. I do like you a lot. I cut myself off before I said too much. Look, this didn't happen. I'm going to blame after effects of the flu or that a zombie ate my brain. His brows furrowed.
What?
I don't want this with you. I started to turn, but he caught my arm. I glared at him. Demon. He looked at me straight on.
You're a terrible liar. You do want this, just as badly as I do.
My mouth opened, but no words came out.
You want this as badly as you want to go to ALA this winter.
Now my jaw was on the floor. You don't even know what ALA is.
The American Library Association Midwinter Event, he said,
grinning proudly.
Saw you obsessing over it on your blog before you got sick. I'm pretty sure you said you'd give up your firstborn child to go.
Yeah, I kind of did say that. Demon's eyes flashed.
Anyway, back to the whole you wanting me part.
I shook my head, dumbfounded.
You do want me.
Taking a deep breath, I struggled with my temper and my amusement. You are way too confident.
I'm confident enough to wager a bet.
You can't be serious. He grinned.
I bet that by New Year's Day, you will have admitted that you're madly, deeply, and irrevocably.
Wow. Want to throw another adverb out there? My cheeks were burning.
How about irresistibly?
I rolled my eyes and muttered, I'm surprised you know what an adverb is.
Stop distracting me, kitten. Back to my bet. By New Year's Day, you'll have admitted that you're madly, deeply, irrevocably, and irresistibly in love with me.
Stunned, I choked on my laugh.
And you dream about me.
He released my arm and folded his across his chest, cocking an eyebrow.
I bet you'll admit that. Probably even show me your notebook with my name circled in hearts.
Oh, for the love of God. Demon winked.
It's on.
Spinning around, I grabbed my backpack and hurried through the stacks, leaving Demon in the cubicle before I did something insane. Like throw common sense aside and run back to tackle him, pretending that everything he'd done and said all those months ago hadn't left a raw mark on my heart. Because I'd be pretending, right? I didn't slow until I was standing in front of my locker on the other side of the school. I reached inside my backpack and pulled out my binder full of art crap. What a hell of a day back. I'd dazed out in half of my classes, made out with Demon, and blew up another computer. Seriously, I should have stayed home. I reached for the handle on my locker. Before my fingers could touch it, the locker swung open. Gasping, I jumped back, and my art binder fell to the floor. Oh my God, what just happened? It couldn't be. My heart rate went into cardiac arrest territory. Demon? He could manipulate objects. Opening a locker door with his mind would be a piece of cake for him, considering he could uproot trees. I looked around the thinning crowds, but I already knew he wasn't there. I hadn't felt him through our creepy alien bond. I backed away from the locker.
Whoa, watch where you're going, a teasing voice intruded.
Sucking in a sharp gasp, I whipped around. Simon Cutters stood behind me, clenching a ragged backpack in his meaty fist. Sorry, I croaked, glancing back at the locker. Had he seen that happen? I knelt to pick up my artwork, but he beat me to it. Epic awkwardness ensued as we tried to pick up the papers without touching each other. Simon handed me a stack of craptastic drawings of flowers. I had no artistic talent.
Here you go.
Thanks. I stood, shoving my binder into the locker, ready to flee.
Wait a sec.
He grabbed my arm.
I wanted to talk to you.
My eyes dropped to his hand. He had 5 seconds before my pointy-toed shoe ended up between his legs. He seemed to sense this because he dropped his hand and flushed.
I just want to apologize for everything that happened homecoming night. I was drunk, and I do stupid things when I'm drunk.
I glared at him. Then maybe you should stop drinking.
Yeah, Maybe I should.
He ran his hand over his closely cropped hair. Light reflected off the blue and gold watch around his thick wrist. Something was engraved on the band, but I couldn't make it out.
Anyway, I just didn't. Yo, Simon, what are you doing?
Billy Crump, a beady-eyed football player who only seemed to notice my boobs when he looked in my direction, sidled up next to Simon. He was closely followed by a rabid pack of teammates. Billy grinned as his gaze zeroed in on me.
Hey, what do we have here?
Simon opened his mouth, but one of the guys beat him to it.
Let me guess, she's trying to get in your jock again.
Several guys chuckled and elbowed one another. I blinked at Simon. Excuse me? The tips of Simon's cheeks turned ruddy as Billy lurched forward, dropping his arm over my shoulder. The scent of his cologne nearly knocked me out.
Look, babe, Simon ain't interested in you.
One of the guys laughed.
Like my mama always said, why buy the cow when the milk's for free?
A slow rush of fury inched through my veins. What the hell was Simon telling these douchebags? I shrugged out from underneath Billy's arm. This milk isn't for free and wasn't even for sale.
That's not what we hear.
Billy fist-pumped a red-faced Simon.
Isn't that right, Cutters?
All of Simon's friends' eyes were on him. He choked out a laugh and stepped back, swinging his backpack over his shoulder.
Yeah, man, but not interested in a second glass. I was trying to tell her that, but she wouldn't listen.
My mouth dropped. You lying son of a...
What's going on down there?
Coach Vincent called from the end of the hallway.
Shouldn't you boys be in class by now?
Laughing, the guys broke apart and headed down the hall. One of them spun around, motioning a call me hand signal, while another made a rather obscene gesture with his mouth in hand. I wanted to slam my fist into something, but Simon wasn't my biggest problem. I faced my locker again, wincing as my stomach dropped to my toes. It had opened by itself. Chapter 4. Mom was gone, already having started her shift in Winchester earlier that day. I'd been hoping she'd be home so I could chat with her for a little while and forget about the whole locker incident, but I'd forgotten it was Wednesday, also known as Fend for Yourself Day. A dull ache had taken up residency behind my eyes, like I strained something, but I wasn't sure if that were possible. It had started after the whole locker incident and didn't show signs of stopping. I threw a load of clothes into the dryer before realizing there were no dryer sheets. Fail. Going to the linen closet, I rummaged around, hoping to find something. Giving up, I decided that the only thing that was going to make today better was the sweet tea I'd seen in the fridge that morning. Glass shattered. I jumped at the sound and then hurried to the kitchen, thinking someone had broken the window from outside, but it wasn't like we had a lot of visitors out here, unless it was a Department of Defense officer bum-rushing the house. At that thought, my heart tripped up a little as my gaze went to the counter below an opened cupboard. One of the tall, frosted glasses was in three large pieces on the counter. Drip, drip, drip. Frowning, I looked around, unable to figure out the source of the noise. Broken glass and water dripping. Then it struck me. My pulse sped up as I opened up the fridge. The jug of tea was on its side, lid off. Brown liquid ran across the shelf, spilling down the sides. I glanced at the counter. I'd wanted tea, which requires a glass and, well, tea. No way, I whispered, backing up. There was no way the act of wanting tea had somehow caused this. But what other explanation could there be? It wasn't like there was an alien hiding under the table, moving crap around for fun. I checked, just to be sure. This was the second time in one day that something had moved on its own. Two coincidences. Numb inside, I grabbed a towel and cleaned up the mess. The whole time I was thinking about the locker door. It had opened before I reached it, but it couldn't be me. Aliens had the power to do that kind of stuff. I didn't. Maybe there had been a minor earthquake or something. A minor earthquake that only targeted glasses and tea? Doubtful. Weirded out to the max, I grabbed a book off the back of the couch and sprawled out. I needed a serious distraction. Mom hated that there were books everywhere. They weren't really everywhere, just wherever I was, like the couch, recliner, kitchen counters, laundry room, and even the bathroom. It wouldn't be like that if she caved and installed a wall-to-ceiling bookcase. But no matter how I tried to get into the book I was reading, it wasn't working. Half of it was the book. It had insta-love, the bane of my existence. Girl sees boy and falls in love. Immediately. Soulmate, breath-stealing, toes-curling, love after one conversation. Boy pushes girl away for some paranormal reason or another. Girl still loves boy. Boy finally admits love. Who was I kidding? I sort of loved all that angst. It wasn't the book. It was me. I couldn't clear my head and fully immerse myself in the characters. I grabbed a bookmark off the coffee table and shoved it in the book. Dog-eared pages were the antichrist of book lovers everywhere. Ignoring what was happening wasn't working. It just wasn't in me to run from my troubles like this. Besides, if I was honest with myself, I knew I was more than a little freaked out by what was happening. What if I was imagining I was moving things? The fever could have killed off a few brain cells. I dragged in air so fast my head swam. Could a person get schizophrenia from being sick? No, that just sounded stupid. Sitting up, I pressed my head to my knees. I was fine. What was happening? There had to be a logical explanation for it. I hadn't closed the locker door all the way, and Simon's lumbering steps had jarred it open, and the glass left on the edge. And there was a good chance that Mom had left the cap on the tea loose. She was always doing stuff like that. I took several more deep breaths. I was okay. Logical explanations made the world go round. The only fault in that line of thought was the fact I lived next door to aliens, and that was so not logical. Pushing off the couch, I checked the window to see if Dee's car was out front. Pulling on my hoodie, I headed next door. Dee immediately pulled me into the kitchen. There was a sweet, burned smell. "I'm glad you came over. I was just about to come get you," she said, dropping my arm and rushing over to the counter. There were several pots scattered across the countertop. "What are you doing?" I peered over her shoulder. One of the pots looked like it was filled with tar. "Ew," Dee sighed. "I was trying to melt chocolate." "With your microwave hands?" "It's an epic fail." She poked at the gunk with a spatula. "I can't get the temp right."
"Then why don't you just use the stove?"
"Pfft, I loathe the stove."
Dee pulled the spatula up. Half of it had melted.
"Whoops."
"Nice." I shuffled over to the table. With a wave of her hand, the pots flew to the sink. The tap turned on.
"I'm getting better at this."
She grabbed some dish soap.
"What were you and Demon doing at lunch?"
I hesitated.
"I wanted to talk about the whole lake thing. I'd thought I dreamed that."
Dee cringed.
"No, that was real. He got me when he brought you back. I was the one to place you in dry clothes, by the way."
I laughed.
"I was hoping that was you." "Although he did volunteer for the job," she said, her eyes rolling. "Demon is so helpful."
"That he is. Where is he?" She shrugged.
"No clue."
Her eyes narrowed.
"Why do you keep itching your arm?"
"Huh?" I stopped, not even realizing I was doing that.
"Oh, they took my blood in the hospital to make sure I didn't have rabies or something."
Laughing, she tugged up my sleeve.
"I have some stuff that you can put..." "Holy crap, Katie!"
"What?" I glanced down at my arm and sucked in a breath.
"Yuck!"
My entire inner elbow looked like a fleshy strawberry. All that was missing was a leafy green cap. The raised splotches of red skin were speckled with darker dots. Dee ran a finger over it.
"Does it hurt?"
I shook my head. "It just itched like crazy." She dropped my hand.
"All you did was get your blood taken?"
"Yeah," I said, staring at my arm.
"That's really weird, Katie. It's like you had some kind of reaction to something. Let me get some aloe. That might help."
"Sure."
I frowned at my arm. What could have done this?
Dee returned with a jar of the cool gunk. It helped with the itching, and after I tugged my sleeve back down, she seemed to forget about it. I hung out with her for the next couple of hours, watching her destroy one pod after another. I laughed so hard my stomach hurt when Dee leaned too close to a bowl she was heating and accidentally set her shirt on fire. She'd raised one brow at my larger chest, as if to say she'd like to have seen me avoid the same mistake, sending me into another fit of giggles. When she ran out of chocolate and plastic spatulas, Dee finally admitted defeat. It was after 10, and I said goodbye as I headed home to get some rest. It had been a long first day back at school, but I was glad I'd headed over and ended it hanging with Dee. Demon was crossing the road just as I shut the front door behind me. In less than a second, he was on the top step.
Kitten.
Hey. I avoided his extraordinary eyes and face because, well, I was having a real hard time not recalling what his mouth had felt like on mine earlier. Where, so what have you been doing?
Patrolling.
He stepped onto the porch, and even though I was busy staring at the crack in the wood floor, I could feel his gaze on my face and the heat from his body. He stood close, too close.
Everything is all quiet on the Western Front.
I cracked a smile. Nice reference. When he spoke, his breath teased the loose hair around my temple.
It's my favorite book, actually.
My head jerked toward his, narrowly missing a collision. I hid my surprise. I didn't know you knew how to read the classics. A lazy smirk appeared, and I'd swear he managed to get closer. Our legs touched. His shoulder brushed my arm.
Well, I usually prefer books with pictures and small sentences, but sometimes I step out of the box.
Unable to help it, I laughed. Let me guess, your favorite kind of picture book is the one you can color in?
I never stay in the lines.
Demon winked. Only he could pull that off. Of course not. I looked away, swallowing. Sometimes it was too easy to fall into the easy banter with him. Too damn easy to imagine doing this with him every night. Teasing, laughing, getting in way over my head. I've got to go. He swung around.
I'll walk you home.
I live right there. Not like he didn't know that.
Duh.
That lazy smirk spread.
Hey, I'm being a gentleman.
He offered his arm.
May I?
Laughing under my breath, I shook my head. But I gave him my arm. The next thing I knew, he scooped me up into his arms. My heart leaped into my throat. Demon!
Did I tell you I carried you all the way back to the house the night you were sick? Thought that was a dream, huh? Nope. Real.
He went down one step as I stared wide-eyed at him.
Twice in 1 week. We're making this a habit.
And then he shot off the porch, the roar of the wind drowning out my surprised squeal. The next second, he was standing in front of my door, grinning down at me.
I was faster the last time.
Really? I said slowly, dumbfounded. My cheeks felt numb. You going to put me down? Our eyes met. There was a tender look in his that warmed and frightened me.
Been thinking about our bet? Want to give in now?
And he totally ruined that tender moment. Put me down, demon. He placed me on my feet, but his arms were still around me, and I'd no idea what to say.
I've been thinking.
Oh, God, I murmured. His lips twitched.
This bet really isn't fair to you. New Year's Day? Hell, I'll have you admitting your undying devotion to me by Thanksgiving.
I rolled my eyes. I'm sure I'll hold out until Halloween.
That's already passed.
Exactly, I muttered. Laughing under his breath, he reached forward, tucking a strand of hair behind my ear. The back of his knuckles brushed my cheek, and I pressed my lips together to stop a sigh. Warmth blossomed in my chest, having nothing to do with a simple touch. It had everything to do with the ache in his gaze. Then he pivoted around, tipping his head back. Moments passed in silence.
The stars. They're beautiful tonight.
I followed his gaze, a little thrown off by his sudden change in topic. The sky was dark, but there were a hundred or so bright dots glimmering against the inky night.
Yeah, they are. I bit my lip.
Do they remind you of your home? There was a pause.
I wish they did. Memories, even bittersweet ones, are better than nothing, you know?
A knot formed in my throat. Why had I asked him that? I knew he didn't remember anything about his planet. I tucked my hair back again and stood beside him, squinting at the sky.
The elders, do they remember anything about looks?
He nodded. Have you ever asked them to tell you about it? He started to respond, then laughed.
It is that simple, right? But I try to avoid the colony as much as possible.
Understandable, but I wasn't entirely sure why. Demon and Dee rarely talked about the Luxon that remained in the colony, hidden deep within the forest surrounding Seneca Rocks.
What about Mr. Garrison?
Matthew.
He shook his head.
He won't talk about it. I think it's too hard on him. The war and losing his family.
Tearing my gaze away from the stars, I looked up at Demon. His profile was harsh and haunted. Christ, they'd had a tough life. All of the Luxon. War had turned them into refugees. Earth was practically a hostile planet to them, considering how they had to live. Demon and Dee couldn't remember their parents and had lost their brother. Mr. Garrison had lost everything, and God only knew how many of them shared the same tragedy. The knot was growing bigger in my throat.
I'm sorry.
Demon's head swung toward me sharply.
Why would you apologize?
I'm just sorry for everything you guys have had to go through.
And I meant it. He held my gaze for a beat and then looked away, laughing under his breath. There was no humor in the sound, and I wondered if I'd said something wrong. Probably.
Keep talking like that, kitten, and I...
You what?
Demon backed off my porch, his smile secretive.
I've decided to go easy on you. I'll keep New Year's Day as the deadline.
I started to respond, but he was gone before I could, moving too fast for my eyes to track. Placing my hand against my chest, I stood there and tried to make heads of what just happened. For a moment, a crazy moment, there had been something infinitely more than mad animal lust between us. And it scared me. I went inside and eventually was able to push Demon to the back of my mind. Grabbing my cell, I went from room to room until I got a signal and called Mom, leaving her a message. When she called back, I told her about my arm. She said I probably bumped it on something, even though it didn't hurt and it wasn't bruised either. She promised to bring me home a salve, and I felt better just hearing her voice. I sat on my bed, trying to forget about all the weird stuff and focus on my history homework. There was an exam on Monday. Studying on a Friday was the height of lameness, but it was either that or I fail. And I refused to fail. History was one of my favorite subjects. Hours later, I felt the weird warmth that was becoming increasingly familiar creep across my neck. Closing the textbook, I hopped off the bed and crept toward the window. The full moon lit everything in a pale, silvery glow. I tugged up the sleeve of my shirt. The skin was still patchy and red. Did being sick have anything to do with the locker, the glass of tea, and the connection to Demon? My gaze moved back to the window, drifting over the ground below. I didn't see anyone. A yearning sparked in my chest. I pulled the curtain back farther and pressed my forehead against the cool glass. I couldn't understand or explain how I knew, but I did. Somewhere, hidden in the shadows, was Demon. And every part of my being wanted, needed to go to him. The ache that had been in his eyes, it was so much, going beyond him and me, more than what I undoubtedly could wrap my head around. Denying that desire was one of the hardest things I'd ever done, but I let the curtain slip free and went back to my bed. As I opened my history text again, I focused on my chapter. New Year's Day wasn't going to happen. I was having one of those days where I wanted to start throwing things because only breaking crap would make me feel better.
My limit for acceptable weirdness in my daily life had been maxed out. On Saturday, the shower turned on before I even got in it. Sunday night, my bedroom door opened as I walked toward it, smacking me right in the face. And this morning, to top it all off, I'd overslept and missed my first two classes. Plus, my entire closet emptied itself onto my floor as I debated what to wear. Either I was turning into an alien, about to have one crawl its way out of my stomach, or I was crazy. The only good thing about today was that I'd woken up without that itchy rash on my arm. The whole way to school, I debated what to do. These things couldn't be brushed aside as a coincidence any longer, and I needed to get over myself and confront them. My new outlook on not being a bystander in life meant I had to face the fact that I'd really changed. And I needed to do something about it before I exposed everyone. Just thinking about that possibility left a bitter taste in my mouth. There was no way I could go to D, because I'd promised Demon not to tell anyone that he'd healed me. I had no other option but to saddle him with another one of my problems. At least that was how it felt. When I first moved here, I'd been nothing but problems for him. Making friends with his sister, asking way too many questions, almost getting myself killed twice. Plus discovering their big secret, and all the times I'd ended up with a trice. I frowned as I slid out of my car and slammed the door behind me. No wonder Demon had been such a douche canoe those months. I was trouble. So was he, but still. Late for bio and out of breath, I raced down the nearly empty hall, praying that I'd be safely in my seat before Mr. Garrison strolled in. As I reached for the heavy door, it swung open with a powerful rush and slammed against the wall. The noise echoed down the corridor, drawing the attention of a handful of other late students. Blood drained from my face inch by inch as I heard the startled gasp from behind me and knew I was busted. A million thoughts ran through my numb brain, and none of them was worth a damn. Closing my eyes, fear settled like sour milk in my stomach. What was wrong with me? Something was really bad.
"These damn drafty hallways," Mr. Garrison said, clearing his throat. "They'll give you a heart attack."
My eyes snapped open. He straightened his tie while he clenched his brown suitcase tightly in his right hand. I opened my mouth to speak and agree. Agreeing would be a good thing. Yes, damn drafty hallways. But nothing came. I just stood there like a damn fish, gaping and gaping. Mr. Garrison's blue eyes narrowed, and his scowl deepened until I thought it would leave a permanent mark on his face.
"Miss Swartz, shouldn't you be in class?"
"Yes, sorry," I managed to croak.
"Then please, don't just stand there."
He spread his arms and ushered me inside.
"And that is a tardy, your second."
Unsure of how I earned my first tardy, I shuffled into class, trying to ignore the giggles from the other students who'd apparently heard my ass getting chewed out. My cheeks flooded with color.
"Skank," Kimmy said from behind her hand.
Several more giggles erupted from her side of the class, but before I could say anything, Lessa shot the blonde a look.
"That's real funny coming from you," she said. "You are the same cheerleader who forgot to wear her undies during the pep rally last year, aren't you?"
Kimmy's face turned blood red.
"Class," Mr. Garrison said, eyes narrowing. "That's enough."
Passing Lessa a grateful smile, I took my seat next to Blake and yanked out my textbook while Mr. Garrison began reading off the attendance, making small swipes with his favorite red pen. He skipped my name. I was sure it was on purpose. Blake nudged me with his elbow.
"Are you doing okay over there?"
I nodded. There was no way I was going to let him think that Kimmy was the reason my face had gone albino white. And besides, Kimmy calling me a skank probably had something to do with Simon, which wasn't even worth my anger right now. "Yeah, I'm perfect." He smiled, but it looked forced. Mr. Garrison flipped off the lights and launched into a stimulating lecture on tree sap. Forgetting about the boy beside me, I started replaying the door incident over and over again in my head. Had Mr. Garrison really believed it had been a draft? And if he didn't, what was stopping him from contacting the DOD and handing me over? Unease squirmed in my belly. Was I going to end up like Bethany?
Chapter 5. Carissa was waiting for me by my locker after biology.
Can I just go home? I asked as I switched my textbooks.
She laughed.
Having a bad day?
You could say that. I thought about elaborating for a second, but what could I tell her?
I was running late this morning. You know how that just screws your day up from there.
We headed down the hall, chatting about the party on Friday and what we were going to wear. I really hadn't put much thought into it, figuring I'd just wear jeans and a shirt.
Everyone is dressing up, she explained, since we don't get a lot of reasons to actually wear something nice around here.
We just had homecoming, I groaned, knowing I didn't have anything dressy. Carissa launched into the routine conversation about what colleges I was going to apply to. She was hoping I would send an application into WVU. Most of the students were applying there.
Katie, you really need to start applying, she insisted, as she grabbed a plate of what appeared to be Salisbury steak. You're going to run out of time.
You know, I hear it from my mom every day. I will when I decide where I want to go. Problem was, I had no idea where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do.
You don't have forever, she said,
quick to remind me. Dee was already at our table, and I launched into my own tirade the moment I sat down.
So I can't wear jeans to the party? I have to wear a dress?
Huh? Dee blinked and looked at me. Carissa told me I had to wear a dress on Friday night. I didn't really plan for that. Dee picked up her fork and pushed the food around on her plate.
You should wear a dress. We get to be pretty princesses for the night and dress up for the party.
We're not six.
Lessa snorted and repeated,
Pretty princesses. Yes, pretty princesses. You can borrow one of my dresses. I have enough.
Dee poked at her green beans. Something was not right with her. She wasn't eating and was now suggesting I could wear one of her dresses.
Dee, I don't think I'd fit in one of your dresses.
She turned her angelic face to mine, lips turned down at the corners.
I have plenty of dresses you can wear. Don't be silly.
I stared at her, dumbfounded. If I wore one of your dresses, I'd look like a tightly packaged sausage. Dee's gaze darted over my shoulders, and whatever she was going to say died on her lips. Her eyes widened and face paled. I was afraid to turn around, half expecting to find a set of DOD officers strolling through our school cafeteria in black suits. The picture in my brain was equally hilarious and frightening. I slowly twisted in my seat, preparing myself to be thrown on the floor and handcuffed, or whatever it was they did. It took me a moment to find what Dee was utterly transfixed by, and when I did, I was confused. It was Adam Thompson, the nice twin, as I like to refer to him, and he was Dee's friend, boyfriend. What's going on? I asked, swiveling around. Her gaze darted to me.
Can we talk later?
In other words, it wasn't something she could say in front of the others. I nodded and glanced behind me. Adam was getting food, but I noticed someone else. Blake stood by the doors to the cafeteria, scanning the crowds for someone. His gaze found our table, and his hazel eyes settled on me. He smiled, flashing a set of ultra-white teeth, and waved. I gave him a little wave back.
Who's that? Dee asked, frowning.
His name is Blake Saunders, Lessa said, eyeing her lunch.
She poked it with her fork, as if she expected it to jump off her plate and run away.
He's a new kid in our biology class. I found out he's living with his aunt.
Did you go through his personal files or something? I asked, amused.
Lessa snorted.
I overheard him talking to Whitney Samuels. She was giving him the third degree.
I think he's coming over here.
Dee turned to me, her expression unreadable.
He's cute, Katie.
I shrugged. He was very cute. Blake reminded me of a surfer, and that was hot. And he was human. Bonus points there.
He's nice, too.
Nice is good, Carissa said.
Nice was great, but I glanced at the table in the back. Demon wasn't sitting with us today. He seemed to be in a heated discussion with Andrew. There was also no Ash. Strange. My eyes bounced back to Demon. He looked up at that exact moment. The smirk on his face faded. A muscle in his jaw popped. He looked pissed. Whoa, what I do now? Dee kicked me under the table, and I twisted back around. Standing beside me was Blake. A nervous smile was on his face as his eyes flickered over the table.
Hey.
Hi, I said. Wanna sit? Nodding, he took the empty seat beside me.
Everyone is still staring at me.
Ah, it should fade in a month or so, I told him. Hi, Lessa chirped. I am Lessa, with an E, and this is Carissa and Dee. We're Katie's cool friends. Blake laughed.
Nice to meet you. You're in bio, right?
Lessa nodded. So, where are you from? Asked Dee, her voice surprisingly tight. Last time I'd heard that tone was when Ash had shown up at the diner with Demon before school started.
Santa Monica.
After another round of ahs, he grinned.
My uncle was getting tired of the city, so he wanted to get as far away from it as possible.
Well, this is as far as you can get. Lessa grimaced after taking a bite of her food.
I bet lunch was better in Santa Monica.
Nah, it's also questionable there. So how are you adjusting to your classes? Carissa folded her hands on the table, as if she were going to do an interview for the school newspaper. All she needed was a pen and paper.
Okay. It's a much smaller school than my old one, so I've been able to find my way around easily. The people are nicer here, except for the whole staring thing. How about you?
He turned to me.
Since you're still technically new.
Oh, no. I hand over a new kid status completely to you. But it's pretty cool around here.
Not much happens, though, Lessa added.
The conversation moved easily. Blake was super friendly. He answered every one of our questions and was quick to laugh. Turned out he had gym with Lessa and art with Carissa. Every so often he'd glance at me and smile, revealing a set of straight white teeth. It had nothing on Demon's smile whenever he decided to grace our world with its presence, but it was nice. And it was also drawing the attention of the other girls. Their eyes kept darting back and forth between us. My cheeks were growing hotter by the second.
We're having a party Friday night.
Lessa flashed me a quick grin.
You're more than welcome to come. Dee's parents are letting us have it at their house while they're away this weekend.
Dee stiffened with a fork halfway to her mouth. She didn't say anything, but I could tell she wasn't happy with the invite. What was her deal? Half the school appeared to be invited.
That sounds cool.
Blake glanced at me.
You're going?
I nodded, twisting the lid on my water.
She doesn't have a date, Lessa added with a sly look.
My mouth gaped. Real smooth move there.
No boyfriend?
Blake sounded surprised.
Nope.
Lessa's eyes sparkled.
You have a girlfriend you left back in California?
Dee cleared her throat as she found the food on her plate to be of extreme interest. Mortified, I wanted to hide under the table. Blake chuckled.
No, no girlfriend.
He turned his attention back to me.
But I'm surprised you don't have a boyfriend.
Why? I asked, wondering if I should be flattered, like my awesomeness was just so extreme that I couldn't be single.
Well,
Blake said, leaning in toward me. When he spoke, it was right in my ear.
That guy over there, he's been staring at you since I sat down, and he doesn't look happy.
Dee was the first to look. Her lips formed a tight smile. That's my brother. Blake nodded as he leaned back.
Did you guys date or something?
No, I said. Every muscle in my body demanded that I take a look-see. He's just Demon.
Huh,
Blake said, stretching. He nudged my arm.
So no competition there?
My eyes widened.
Boy, he was bold.
His hotness level went up 10 points. Not likely. A slow smile crept over Blake's lips. He had a fuller bottom one, looked totally kissable.
Good to know, because I was wondering if you wanted to grab something to eat after school.
Whoa. I glanced at Dee, who looked just as surprised as I did. I had every intention of finding out why she was acting so weird over Adam, and then talking to Demon about the weird stuff that had been happening. Dee misinterpreted my hesitation.
We can get together tomorrow, after school.
But...
It's okay.
Her look seemed to say, go out, have fun, be normal. Or maybe that was my wishful thinking, because she didn't seem very pleased with Blake's interest in me.
It's fine, Dee added.
I could wait one more day to talk to Demon. I glanced over at Blake, and our eyes locked. I found myself nodding. Blake's smile remained on his face the rest of lunch. Toward the end, I caved, and had to look because I could still feel him. Blake had been right. Demon was staring. Not at me, but at the boy next to me. There wasn't anything friendly in the hard line of his jaw or his sharp, jewel-toned eyes. Demon's gaze slid to mine. There was a flutter deep in my chest. I tried to draw in a breath, but I felt pierced. My lips tingled. There was definitely no competition there. Blake and I decided to go to the smoke hole after school. We took separate cars, and the wind was howling when we got there, tearing at the bare branches of the trees surrounding the parking lot as we rushed inside. His cheeks were flushed under his tan as he grabbed a seat near the crackling fireplace.
I don't think I'm ever going to get used to the wind here. It's brutal.
Me too, I said, rubbing my chilled hands over my arms. And I've been told to expect a lot of snow come winter. Interest lit up his eyes, making the specks of green stand out. Nowhere near as bright as Demon's, though.
Perfect snowboarding weather, then. Do you snowboard?
I laughed. I'd kill myself in 2 seconds. I went skiing once with my mom, and it wasn't pretty. Blake grinned and then shifted his attention to the waitress taking our orders. Surprisingly, I wasn't nervous. There wasn't a tipsy feeling in my stomach when our gazes met. My skin didn't feel stretched too thin, and I wasn't sure what that meant. It seemed so normal. He told me about surfing while we waited for my slice of cheese pizza and his cup of chili. I told him the closest I'd come to surfing was watching the guys down in Florida. I didn't have that kind of coordination, and he tried to convince me it wasn't that hard. I laughed a lot. We took our time eating. With him, I wasn't thinking about aliens from outer space or the looming threat of the DOD or Arum. It was the most relaxing hour I'd spent in a long time. Toward the end, he was ripping a napkin into tiny pieces while he grinned at me.
So you have a blog?
Surprised, I nodded and figured I'd get my geekdom out of the way. Yeah, I love books. I review them on the blog. I paused. How did you know? Blake leaned forward and whispered,
I looked you up. I know, kind of a nerdy thing to do, but I found your blog. I like how you write your reviews. Very witty. And you're passionate about it.
Flattered and completely won over by the fact he actually read my reviews, I smiled. Thank you. The blog is really important to me. Most people don't get it.
Oh, I totally do. I used to blog about surfing.
Really? He nodded.
Yep, I miss the surfing and blogging, the whole connecting with people all around the world that shared the same passion. It's a pretty awesome community.
This guy was perfect. He didn't make fun of me like Demon had over the whole blog thing. Cool points for Blake. I took a sip of my drink as I glanced out the window. Dark, thick clouds blanketed the sky. When I first saw you, I had you pegged for a surfer. You have that look.
What kind of look is that?
You just have the surfer boy look going on. The hair, the tan. It's very cute.
Cute?
He arched a brow. Okay, it's pretty hot. He grinned.
I like the sound of that.
He had one of those personalities, much like Dee, where I couldn't help but feel comfortable around him. A welcome change from the pins and needles feeling I got around Demon. When we left the diner, close to 5, I couldn't believe how much time had passed. The wind whipped at my hair, but I was still buzzing too much for my afternoon with Blake to care about the fact I hadn't bought a jacket yet. Blake nudged me with his elbow.
I'm glad you came with me.
So am I. I twirled my keys as we stopped by his truck.
I don't normally put myself out there.
He leaned against the hood of his truck, crossing his ankles.
You know, just asking like that in front of an entire table of strangers.
Brisk wind cooled my warm cheeks. You seemed pretty confident.
I am, when I want something.
Pushing off the hood, he moved to stand in front of me. Oh, God, was he going to kiss me? I totally loved the easy afternoon we'd just spent, but, well, I just didn't feel right leading him on. I didn't know what was going on with Demon, if anything really was going on, but I knew it wasn't fair to pretend I was completely free. I had feelings for Demon. I just wasn't sure what they meant. Blake leaned toward me, and I froze. Above him, the branches shook and groaned under the force of the wind. There was a loud crack, and my head jerked up. One of the thick branches broke under the weight of the wind. Panic leaped into my throat as it spiraled down to where Blake stood. There was no way he could move fast enough, and the size of the branch promised major damage. Static rushed over my skin, crackling between the layers of my clothing. I felt the tiny hairs on the back of my neck raise. Heart racing, I shot forward and I thought I screamed, "Stop!" But it was only in my head. And the branch stopped, in midair, suspended by nothing. Chapter 6. The branch hung there, hovering as if it were tethered by an invisible string. My breath pawed at my chest, not quite making it out. I stopped the branch. I did that. Panic and power rushed through me, leaving me dizzy. Blake was staring at me, his eyes wide with, what, fear? Excitement? He stepped to the side and lifted his gaze. The rush of power left me at once. The heavy branch crashed, cracking the pavement like it would have done to Blake's skull. My shoulders slumped as I dragged in air. Sharp, slicing pain erupted behind my eyes, and I winced.
Wow.
Blake ran a hand through his spiky hair.
That would have killed me.
I swallowed, unable to speak. Shock rippled through me, lapping at my sides. I felt and recognized the warmth tingling across the nape of my neck, but I couldn't move. This little event had sapped me of energy, and my head, it throbbed something fierce, a kind of scary pain that signaled something was very wrong. Oh, God, was this it? Was I having an aneurysm?
Katie, it's okay, Blake said,
stepping forward as his eyes darted behind me. A warm, strong hand curled around my arm.
Cat.
I sagged at the sound of Demon's voice. Turning to him, I lowered my head, shielding my face with my hair. Sorry, I whispered.
Is she okay?
Blake asked, sounding worried.
The branch. Yes, she's fine. The falling branch scared her.
Each word sounded like he spoke it through gritted teeth.
That's all. But see you later.
Demon started walking, taking me along with him.
Are you okay?
I nodded, staring straight ahead. Everything seemed too bright for a cloudy day. Too real. The whole afternoon had been perfect, normal, and I'd ruined it. When I didn't answer, Demon took my keys from my numb fingers and opened the passenger door. Blake called out my name, but I couldn't bring myself to look at him. I had no idea what he must be thinking, but I knew it couldn't be good.
Get in,
Demon said, almost gently. For once, I obeyed without question. When he climbed in on the driver's side and moved the seat back, I snapped out of it. How are you here? He didn't look at me as he turned the ignition and pulled out of the parking space.
I was driving around. I'll have Dee and Adam get my car.
Turning in my seat, I saw Blake by his car. He was still standing there like we'd left him. Knots twisted my insides. I felt sick, trapped by what I'd done. Demon. His jaw worked.
You'll pretend like nothing happened. If he brings it up, you'll tell him that he moved out of the way. If he even suggests that you stopped that branch, you laugh it off.
understanding seeped in.
I need to act like you did in the beginning.
He nodded curtly.
What just happened back there never happened. Do you understand me?
Close to tears, I nodded. Silence ticked away the minutes. Halfway home, the headache eased up, and I felt almost normal, except it was like I'd pulled an all-nighter. Neither of us spoke until he pulled into the driveway of my house. Demon yanked the keys from the ignition and sat back. He faced me, eyes sheltered by a long wave of hair.
We need to talk, and you need to be honest with me. You don't seem surprised you just did that.
I nodded again. He was furious, and I couldn't blame him. I'd possibly exposed them all to a human who could go to the press, who could talk at school, and who could catch the attention of the DOD. They'd find out the Luxon had special abilities. They'd learn about me. We went inside my empty house. The central air was blowing heat from the vents, but I was shivering uncontrollably as I sat on the recliner. I was planning on telling you.
You were?
Demon stood in front of me, hands clenching and unclenching at his sides.
When exactly? Before or after you did something that puts you at risk?
I flinched. I didn't plan on this happening. All I wanted was to have a normal afternoon with a boy.
With a boy?
He spat, eyes flaring an intense green. Yes, with a normal boy. Why did that sound so surprising? I took a deep breath. I'm sorry. I did plan on coming to you tonight, but Blake asked me to grab something to eat with him, and I just wanted one freaking afternoon with someone like me. His frown went so deep, I thought his face would crack.
You have friends who are normal, Kat.
It's not the same thing. Demon seemed to get what I wasn't really saying. For a second, his eyes widened, and I'd swear there was a flicker of pain in them, but then it was gone.
Tell me what's been happening.
Guilt shot through me, pulling behind its spiky barbs that dug in deep. I think I did get alien cooties, because I've been moving things without touching them. Today, I opened the door to Mr. Garrison's classroom without touching it. He seemed to think it was a drafty hallway.
How often has this been happening?
On and off for around a week. The first time it was my locker door, but I thought it was a fluke, so I didn't say anything. Then I thought about wanting a glass of tea, and the glass flew out of the cabinet, and the tea started pouring itself in the fridge. The shower turned itself on, doors opened, and a couple of times clothes flew from my closet. I sighed. My room was a mess. A snicker escaped.
Nice.
My hands balled into fists. How can you think this is funny? Look at what happened today. I didn't mean to stop the branch. I mean, I didn't want it to hit him, but I didn't consciously stop the damn thing. The whole healing me thing, it changed me, Demon. If you haven't guessed it yet, I couldn't move things before. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I get a splitting headache and feel exhausted afterward. What if I'm dying or something? Demon blinked and was suddenly beside me, sitting on the arm of the chair. Our legs touched. His breath stirred my hair. I shrank back as my heart rate picked up. Why do you have to move so fast? It's wrong. He sighed.
Sorry, kitten. For us, moving fast is natural. It's actually more effort to slow down and appear normal, as you put it. I guess I just forgot I have to pretend around you.
My heart ached. Why did everything I say lately come out as a criticism?
You're not dying, he said.
How do you know? His eyes latched onto mine.
Because I'd never let that happen.
He said it so strongly that I believed him. What if I'm turning into an alien? A look crossed his face, like he wanted to laugh, and I could get why. It did sound absurd.
I don't know if that's possible.
Moving stuff with my mind shouldn't be possible. He sighed.
Why didn't you tell me when this first happened?
I don't know, I said, unable to look away. I should have. I don't want to put you guys at risk. I swear I'm not doing it on purpose. Demon leaned back. His pupils turned luminous.
I know you aren't doing anything on purpose. I wouldn't have thought that.
My breath caught as he held my gaze with his strange eyes.
The prickly feeling was back, spreading over my skin. Every inch of me became painfully aware of him. He was silent for a moment.
I don't know if it was a product of my healing you those times, or when you connected with us during Baruch's attack. Either way, it's obvious that you're using some of my abilities. I've never heard of this happening before.
Never, I whispered.
We don't heal humans.
Demon paused, pursing his lips.
I've always thought it had something to do with exposing our abilities, but now I'm wondering if it's more than that. If the real reason is because we change humans.
I swallowed. So I am turning into an alien?
Kitten.
All I could think about was the movie Alien and that thing crawling out of the dude's stomach, except mine would be a glowing ball of light or something. How do we stop this?
Demon stood. I want to try something, okay?
My brows rose. Okay. Closing his eyes, he let out a long breath. His form flickered and faded. A few seconds later, he was in his true form, radiating a powerful red-white light. He was shaped like a human, and I knew he'd be warm to touch. It was still strange seeing him like this. It drove home the point, the one I forgot sometimes, that he wasn't from this planet.
Say something to me,
his voice whispered in my thoughts. In their true form, Luxon didn't speak out loud. Hi? His chuckle tickled inside me.
Not aloud. Say something to me, but not out loud. Like what happened in the clearing. You spoke to me then.
When he'd been healing me, I'd heard his thoughts. Would it happen again? Your light is really pretty, but it's blinding me. I heard his ghost inhale.
We can still hear each other.
His light dimmed, and he was standing in front of me again, solid, eyes troubled.
So my light was blinding you, huh?
Yeah, it was. I fiddled with the chain around my neck. Am I glowing now? It usually happened when they went into their true form, leaving a faint trace behind.
No.
So that had changed, too. Why can I still hear you? You act like I shouldn't.
You shouldn't, but we're still connected.
Well, how do we get unconnected?
That's a good question.
He stretched idly as his gaze roamed across the room.
You have books everywhere, kitten.
That's really not important now. One hand outstretched. A book flew off the arm of the couch and into his hand. As he turned it over, his brows rose, and his gaze moved over it quickly.
His touch kills. Really, what is this stuff you're reading?
I shot from the chair, snatching the book away and holding it close to my chest. Shut up! I love this book!
Uh-huh,
Demon murmured. Okay, back to the important stuff, and stop touching my books. I set it back where I'd left it. What are we going to do? His gaze settled on me.
I'll figure out what is happening with you. Just give me some time.
I nodded, hoping we had enough time. There was no telling what I'd accidentally do next, and the last thing I wanted was to expose Dee and the others. You do realize this whole thing is why you... He arched a brow. It's why you suddenly like me.
I'm pretty sure I liked you before this, kitten.
Well, you had one hell of a way of showing it.
True,
he admitted.
And I've already said I'm sorry for the way I treated you.
He took a fortifying breath.
I always liked you, from the moment you first flipped me off.
But you didn't start to want to spend time with me until after the first attack, when you healed me. Maybe we were already starting to, like, morph together or whatever. Demon frowned.
What is it with you? It's like you need to convince yourself I can't possibly like you. Does doing that make it easier to tell yourself you don't have feelings for me?
You treated me like a red-headed stepchild for months. I'm sorry if I have a hard time believing that whatever you feel is real. I sat on the couch. And it has nothing to do with what I feel. His shoulders tensed.
Do you like that guy you were with?
Blake? I don't know. He's nice.
He was sitting with you today at lunch.
My brow arched.
Because there was an open seat, and it's a free world where people can pick where they want to sit.
There were other seats open. He could have sat anywhere else in the cafeteria.
It took me a few seconds to respond. He's in my bio class. Maybe he just felt comfortable with me because we're both sort of new. Something flickered across his face, and then he was standing in front of me.
He kept staring at you, and obviously he wanted to spend time with you outside of school.
Maybe he likes me, I said, shrugging. Lessa invited him to the party on Friday. Demon's eyes darkened to an evergreen.
I don't think you should be hanging around him until we know what's up with you moving stuff. You doing that thing with the branch was only one instance. We can't have a repeat of that.
What? I'm not supposed to date or hang out with anyone now? Demon smiled.
Anyone human, yes.
Whatever. I shook my head, standing. This is a stupid conversation. I'm not dating anyone anyway, but if I were, I wouldn't stop just because you said so.
You wouldn't?
His hand shot out, tucking back a strand of hair behind my ear.
We'll just have to see about that.
I stepped sideways, keeping distance between us. There's nothing to see. Challenge filled his eyes.
If you say so, kitten.
Folding my arms, I sighed. This isn't a game.
I know, but if it were, I'd win.
He flickered out and appeared by the entrance to the foyer.
By the way, I've heard what Simon has been saying.
Heat swept over my face. Another problem, but less important in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, he's being a douche. I think it's his friends. He actually apologized to me, and then when his friends showed up, he told them I was trying to get with him. Demon's eyes narrowed.
That's not okay.
I sighed. It's no big deal.
Maybe not to you, but it is to me.
He paused, his shoulders squaring.
I'll take care of it.
Chapter 7. I didn't get much sleep that night, so Trigg the next day sucked worse than normal. There was a 6'3" alien behind me, not talking to me, just breathing softly against the back of my neck. And no matter how far I scooted up, I could still feel him. I was hyper aware of him, when he moved, when he wrote something down, when he scratched his head. Halfway through class, I debated making a run for the door. It was also day 2 of no pen pokes. On the other hand, Simon kept glancing over his shoulder throughout class. Needing a distraction, I glared at his head. A slow flush crept over the back of his neck. He could feel me drilling holes into his head. Ha, jerk face. Brown hair curled against the faintly flushed skin. He normally kept it cut close to the skull. I supposed he was in need of a haircut, since most boys around here didn't let their hair grow more than an inch or two. The dull gray shirt he wore stretched over his broad shoulders as he tensed under my stare. He glanced over his shoulder at me. I arched a brow. Simon turned back stiffly, and his shoulders rose as he took a deep breath. Annoyance flared, and my fingers burned. The tool had half the school thinking I was easy. My attention fell back to the book in front of him. The heavy English text flipped off the desk, smacking Simon right in the face. My mouth dropped open as I sat back. Holy crap! Jumping up, he stared at the book, now lying on the floor, as if it were some kind of creature he'd never seen before. Our teacher's eyes narrowed as he searched for the source of the disruption.
"Mr. Cutters, is there something you would like to share with the class?" he asked in a tired, bored voice.
"What?"
Simon stuttered. He looked around frantically, and then his eyes settled on the book.
"No, I'm out for my book off the desk. Sorry."
He let out a loud sigh.
"Well, then pick it up."
There were a few scattered chuckles from the other students. Simon was beet red as he swiped the book off the floor. He placed it in the middle of his desk and continued staring at it. After the class settled down and the teacher turned back to the chalkboard, Demon poked me with his pen. I twisted around.
"What was that?"
he whispered, eyes narrowed. There was no mistaking the amusement in the tilt to his lips, though.
"Very bad, kitty."
Blake arrived to bio minutes before the bell. He was wearing a vintage Super Mario Brothers shirt today.
You look...
like crap, I supplied, resting my cheek on my fist. I had no idea how to prepare myself for seeing him after the branch issue. Playing it cool wasn't something I was particularly skilled at.
I was going to say tired.
His eyes narrowed as he watched me.
Are you okay?
I nodded. Look, about yesterday, I'm sorry I freaked out. The branch...
scared you, he said,
eyes locked onto mine.
It's no big deal. It shocked me, too. It all happened quickly, but I'd swear that branch stopped.
He tilted his head to the side.
Like it was suspended for a few seconds.
What was I supposed to say? Deny, deny, deny. I don't know. Maybe the wind caught it or something.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, the big party is coming up.
I smiled faintly, relieved at the change in topic. Would it be that easy? Damn, I was a better liar than Demon gave me credit for. You coming?
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Good. I toyed with my pen, remembering what Demon had said about not hanging out with Blake. Screw that. I'm glad you're coming. Blake's smile was infectious. We chatted for a little while about the party, waiting for class to begin. A couple of times his hand brushed mine. I doubted it was on accident, and I liked that. There wasn't anything forcing him to do it, except that maybe he wanted to touch me. He seemed to like me all on his own, and that made him 1,000 times more attractive. And, well, that boyish smile of his helped. I could see him shirtless, surfing the waves. He was totally dateable. Taking a deep breath, I did something I rarely ever did. You can stop by my place first, before the party, if you want. His lashes lowered, fanning his golden cheeks.
That sounds cool. Like a date?
I flushed. Yeah, kind of. I guess you can say that. Blake leaned in, his breath surprisingly cool on my cheeks. Minty.
I'm not sure I like the kind of thing. I like the idea of calling it a date.
My gaze flicked up, meeting his. The little specks of green in his eyes were nowhere near as vibrant as Demon's. Why was I even thinking about him? We can call it a date. He sat back.
Sounds better.
I smiled, glancing down at my notebook. A date. Not dinner and the movies kind of date, but a date nonetheless. We exchanged numbers. I gave him directions. Excitement bubbled through me. I snuck a look at him. He was watching me with a crooked smile on his face. Oh, the party just got a whole lot more interesting. I refused to think about what Demon would do when he saw me arrive with Blake.